Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week is the date is January 24th, 2024, and I am beginning the fourth week of my photo shoot prep. So my calories dropped last week. They dropped quite a bit, actually. So basically what this means is I did an episode on intermittent fasting, and I mentioned in it that when I was in a calorie deficit before, I pushed my first meal out till 1 o'clock in the day. I always mentioned the importance of meal timings and controlling and regulating our hunger hormones. So it just means that we're not feeling hungry at random times a day all day. So I usually used to have my first meal at like 10 in the morning when I was on more calories, but now that I'm on less calories, if I was to have my first meal at 10 in the day, my last meal would probably be around 5 or 6 because I have 3 meals a day, and I usually leave about 3 to 4 hours in between each meal. So, you know, I go to bed at about 10 or 11. I don't want 5 hours, you know, of me not being able to eat or snack. Well, I'm free to eat whatever I want, but, you know, I'm going to go over my calories if I do that. So what I did is I pushed my first meal of the day out till 1 o'clock. So that means then my last meal will be around 8 or 9. And it just means that I'm happy going to bed and I feel full. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to have to do now because I'm on less calories. Whereas beforehand, when I was on more calories, I nearly had 4 meals a day. So, you know, my last meal will be around 7 or 8, even if I started eating at 10 o'clock. But, yeah, less calories means less food. And I just want, a nice window that I can have my 3 meals in rather than like having to stretch 3 meals out over 12 hours. So yeah, that's where I am at the moment. Cardio hasn't changed. Steps haven't changed. My workout will stay the same the whole way through, I reckon. But yeah, and also because I'm on less calories now, so I knocked 300 calories off what I was currently on daily. Which is a lot. So it just means now that I used to have a protein bar every day and I loved my salted caramel protein bar. I really did. But it just means that I need to spend those calories that I got from that protein bar on like food that's going to fill me properly. I know it's a protein bar and it's helped me reach my protein intake, but I'd rather get it from meat and that's going to fill me for longer. I was hitting two boards with the one stone with the protein bar, so chocolate and protein, but look, it's not worth it. It's 200 calories like I'll be putting towards a meal, you know. So yeah, if I was on more calories, by all means, yeah, there's room for it, but at the moment it's like I'm on a budget and the only thing I can afford is the stuff that's going to keep me full and keep me fueled. So while we are on the subject of fueling, this week's episode is how to fuel for a workout, during a workout, and then what to eat after a workout. Okay, so I know some people train fasted as well, like the first thing in the morning. Don't worry, I'm gonna answer that question too, or get to that, I should say. So yeah, so it's actually a question I get asked a lot, like, oh, you know, I woke up first thing in the morning, what am I supposed to eat, or what am I supposed to eat afterwards? Is it okay if I do this? Should I be eating this during a workout, or before or after, etc.? So yeah, this podcast episode is dedicated to that. So fueling for a workout, pre and post workout meals shouldn't have a longer gap than 3 to 4 hours. Or if you have a huge pre-workout meal, you could probably stretch it out to like 5 to 6 hours. So if you had your first meal at like 10 in the morning, like your meal after your workout, you're going to do your workout in between these two meals, like your next meal should, I suppose, at most be at 4 o'clock that day. Okay, so pre-workout is more important if you're cutting, if you're in a calorie deficit, right? Because this is your fuel, this is your petrol, this is what's going to power your workout. And you're already running on low fuel as it is when you're in a deficit. So it's really important that you have something to eat before a workout if you're in a deficit. Like even if it's something small, if you do like train fasted, if it's something small, that's probably even better. If you're leaner, obviously, if you have less body fat, if you're on lower calories because you're leaner, you're at higher risk of muscle loss if you're not fueling properly. So, you know, 1500 calories, let's say, for example, is your deficit. 1500 calories worth of junk food is going to make you feel completely different to, you know, 1500 calories worth of good carb sources and good protein sources. So it is important the type of food that you pick. And a lot of people go into a calorie deficit thinking, oh, I can eat what I want once I'm in a calorie deficit. And then they soon realize after a few days of eating crisps and chocolate that it doesn't fill them half as much as what 1500 calories worth of three meals would. Okay, so back to what we were speaking about. So yeah, pre-workout meals. Bodybuilders need it too. So like a bodybuilder is someone like myself. So like my aim is to build muscle, you know. So I need obviously a good pre-workout meal. I'm doing more volume, you know, more reps, etc., more sets. And that's going to burn a lot of energy, okay? So you need to be fueled properly going into that workout. So a pre-workout meal example is going to determine how effective your training is, all right? So eating a chocolate bar is going to give you a completely different outcome compared to if you were to eat a good meal before training, okay? So you're going to need carbs for fuel. Remember, carbs are our body's petrol. They give us energy, okay? And protein to provide an anabolic environment, okay? So building muscle during training. You're not going to build muscle instantly after training or during training, okay? Like, this is obviously just a knock-on effect. So what I would recommend is 1 gram of carb per kilogram of body weight. So I'm around 60 kg, so that's around 60 gram of carbs. Now this is very technical, okay? Like, you don't have to be on the button with this. Like, you're not going to ruin your training session or like take 10 steps back in your progress if you don't abide by this. So I would say near or there or around that, all right? So for example, I have my bowl of oats first thing in the morning. When I'm cutting, I'll have about 60 grams of oats when I weigh it on a food scale. When I'm not cutting, I'll have about 80 grams. Now, I think like 80 grams of oats is like 50 to 60 grams of carbs. When you log it into my fitness pal, it will tell you that. But again, you don't have to be on the button with this, just there or around. And then I'll add protein powder too. So having 0.5 grams per kg of body weight for protein is also ideal as well. So, you know, I'm 60 grams, half of that is 30 grams. So I will have nearly about 30 grams of protein with that meal anyway. So happy days. And then the ideal window, well, actually, just before we get to that, fats, okay? So there's dietary fat and then there's actual body fat. I don't know why they gave it nearly the same name because it's very confusing. So dietary fat is what we get from foods, okay? And a lot of, there's some foods that have a higher dietary fat content than others. So like peanut butter or nuts and peanuts in general would have a high fat content, but it's good fats. We need fats in our diet, okay? They help us with energy too. They also help with digestion. Dark chocolate, actually 85%. And then, like, I think, like, the 90% dark chocolate has an even higher fat content. So what I used to do is, excuse me, I used to put 10 grams of peanut butter in with my protein oats. But I actually switched it up lately and I put a square of dark chocolate. And it's lovely because when I microwave it, when I microwave it, the dark chocolate, it makes it taste like a chocolate cake. It's lovely. And also, I make a protein shake first, okay? I pour half the milk in that and half the milk in the oats. And then when I heat the oats up in the microwave, when they're done, obviously it's going to be really clumpy like cement. And then I throw the protein shake in on top of it. Do not microwave protein powder. I learned the hard way, okay? Unless you want your microwave to explode. So that's my pre-workout meal, all right? That's a fair idea of what you would eat. Like, if you are training about an hour to an hour and a half beforehand, all right? And why do we add fats? Because fat actually slows down digestion. So if we're having a lot of fat with our breakfast, a lot of dietary fat with our breakfast, it's going to really, really slow down digestion. And we don't want that. Like, we want the food to kind of get into the digestive system and, you know, let our body reap the benefits of that food and give us energy as quick as possible. So that's why we only have, like, say, a teaspoon of butter or 1 square of dark chocolate, etc. So 0 to 20 grams of fat. You don't have to have any fat if you don't want to, but I would always recommend it's good to get some good fats in your diet on a daily basis, okay? We don't want to be getting them from cooking oil and the likes. So when should we eat the pre-workout meal? So 1 to 1.5 hours before training. Any closer, it can still be digestion and it can make you feel a bit sluggish or bloated. And that's just going to make you too comfortable. Or if it's too far away from the workout, so it could be 3 hours beforehand, you can end up feeling lightheaded and not reap the energy from it because it's already digested. It's nearly coming out the other end. And I've done this. I've made that mistake in the past and I started seeing black spots during some of my exercises, and that's not good, okay? Sometimes I understand time constraints can be an issue. So having a smaller, faster digesting meal can be better for some people. So for example, this morning I had to do that. For example, a banana and a protein shake. I have the brand Perform with the number 4 in the name. And it's like a Kinder Bueno flavor. It's like white chocolate hazelnut. Oh my God, it's so nice. And I put it into like 500 ml of almond unsweetened milk. It like literally tastes like a Kinder Bueno milkshake. It's so nice. And a banana. And it's nice and light. And you're getting your carbs from the banana and your protein from the shake. And it can be absorbed quite quickly into the system. Okay, so if you are running out the door and you don't have time to sit down and let a meal digest before you go to the gym, that's what I had to do. So what if you have to try and fast it, all right? So having some carbs will benefit you. And don't forget, the night before, the last meal that you had before bed, let's say it was a homemade chicken curry with rice, okay? Rice is a carb source. And that's still going to be in your system. Like, it doesn't just vanish. And when you go to the toilet the next morning, that's it. It's out of your system. Like, your body absorbs the nutrients from that meal and says, okay, well, I'm going to save this until I need to use the energy from this meal. And that's what happens then. So if you think you're training fasted, your body is still using the carbs from the previous meal you had the night before. So for example, people who run marathons need to have a lot of carbs in their system. They need to carb load sometimes like 3 to 2 days before the actual race. Like, they could be having 300 to 400 grams of carbs each day, 3 days before their race. So they are stocked up on plenty of diesel, petrol, aka energy, okay? And obviously, if you're going to be having that much carbohydrates in a deficit, you are going to take yourself out of a deficit, because if there's 4 calories for every 1 gram of carbs and you're having 300 grams of carbs, you know, let alone the rest of the food you're going to be eating that day from like protein and fats, that's 1200 calories already, like just on carbohydrates. But we're not running a marathon, we're losing body fat here and we're training in the gym, all right? So yeah, don't mind that example. But that's just an example of why we need carbs and how our body uses them. So you get some people eating a pizza and stuff the night before a big run, because it's still going to be in your system the next day when you're out running. And the same with exercise, okay? So you think you're training fasted, but you're actually not. But some people do train better fasted. You know, sometimes I have to train fasted, again, through time constraints. And I actually feel like I get a better workout in. Sometimes I can feel quite sluggish if I have a big meal sitting in my stomach from the hour previous or 2 hours previous. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I just train better fasted. But again, the way my day works out, sometimes I have to train mostly in the afternoon, but I'm going to try train more in the morning times, so I have the whole day to myself then. Like, I know I'm doing this a good few years now, but even having a workout hanging over me can be very demotivating, if that's even a word. I don't like the feeling of something hanging over me, or like not being able to get things done because I have to complete my workout first. But yeah, having some carbs will benefit you. Some people perform better on an empty stomach and probably don't have the appetite either in the morning. Like, some people don't like eating first thing in the morning. It's not a massive deal. So what I would say is your intra-nutrition, so what you have during a workout is probably, and what you have after the workout is probably going to be very important for you if you train fasted, okay? So intra is beneficial in a fasted state, okay? So if you're in a deficit, your workout lasts longer than an hour, or if you're an advanced athlete and trying to optimize your training, like, your intra nutrition is going to be like, intra is like during, okay? So intra nutrition, hydration, etc., is going to be really important. So drinks like Powerade. So if you ever see like football players on the pitch at halftime or in the dressing room, they'd be eating drinking like Powerade and stuff like that, because there's carbs in that. And like, you know that drink Gatorade, like a lot of Americans drink that, a lot of those stores over in America have a lot of Gatorade. Like, that would be a carb source, you know. And what's carbs? Energy, okay? So they're very popular for athletes at halftime to replenish their carb stores and give them that bit of energy extra to top up their energy. A lot of supplement shops sell powdered carbs as well. So you can see, like, if you go into a supplement shop or even online, they actually sell carbohydrates in a powdered form in like one of those big tubs, just to give you an extra kick during your workout. Or EAAs, okay? So essential amino acids. I take this during my workout. I put a scoop of it into a bottle of water And yeah, it just helps with hydration and keeps everything ticking nicely in terms of energy. But if you don't want to waste too many calories on carbs, because like I said, there's 4 calories, 1 gram of carbs, you can stick to the likes of EAAs or just even use 5 grams to 10 grams of powdered carbs into your water, okay? And you'll also see as well that people who train fasted or don't have time to eat, they'll have like a Squares bar before a workout or jellies. Again, fast acting carbs, you'll go straight into your system and give you a kick rather than waiting an hour to an hour and a half for like your bowl of oats to kick in if you don't have time. And then post workout, so after your workout, okay? So again, if you train fasted, your intra and post workout meal is probably going to matter a lot more, okay? So you can have 2 to 3 hours of a window after your workout. You don't have to eat ASAP. A lot of people get worried, oh, if I don't eat ASAP or eat protein ASAP, my workout was basically, non-existent. No, like you can give yourself about 2 to 3 hours. I probably wouldn't leave it any more than 2, to be honest, because you're probably going to be quite hungry after expending a lot of energy, depending on how long you spend in the gym. But you won't lose all your gains if you don't eat straight away, okay? That's just a myth. But try not to leave a gap of like 6 hours, all right? Because you will be very, very hungry. And what's going to happen when you're very, very hungry? You're going to want to go to like fast acting carb sources because your brain knows that that's like a quick form of energy. And that's when you start craving the cakes and the biscuits and the takeaways and stuff, all right? So try have something prepared or have an idea what you're going to make when you go home or even have something with you, okay? I'll get to that now shortly. So what is an example of a post-workout meal? So again, 0.5 grams per kg of body weight. So again, I'd have 20 grams of protein with a meal. And I usually would have that anyway. I usually have about 20 grams to 40 with most meals anyway, okay? So carbs aren't as important. We should still have a carb source with our post-workout meal. But carbs aren't as important now. They aren't the forefront of the meal because we aren't going to do a workout after this meal. We've already done our workout, so our energy source isn't that important now. But again, you should always have a carb source regardless. So you've done your workout, but it should still have carbs. So you're going to have carbs anyway with your dinner or any meal. You know, you're always going to have some type of carb source like spuds, rice, chips. I'm probably forgetting one, pasta. So you could have 0.5 grams of carbs per kg of body weight. So 20 grams of carbs. So, you know, like I think 50 grams of pasta is around that anyway, or 40 grams. I'm not too sure. Use a food scale. Again, my fitness pal will tell you that. An example of a meal could be a chicken fillet, like a seasoned one or marinated in a low fat sauce, some baby potatoes and some veg. If you have a big gap between your workout and your next meal, like let's say after the gym, whatever way the day worked out, you have to fly and do an errand and it's going to take you about 3 to 4 hours and you can't sit down and have a meal. Like sometimes if you are really prepared, you might bring something in a lunchbox that can be eaten cold. So for example, pasta, bolognese can be eaten cold, chicken and rice, obviously season it, spice it up the way you want so it tastes nice and it's not bland, can be eaten cold. Overnight oats can be eaten cold. But let's say you aren't prepared. If you have a big gap between your workout and your next meal, try have a protein shake. Or I know a lot of those vending machines in the gyms sell those protein shakes and they have like 50 grams of protein in them. Some people drink them daily, okay? I wouldn't recommend using that as a substitute for a meal on a daily basis. In emergency cases, yes, but not only do they make you feel bloated, it's just not the same as having a meal. And they're like 300 calories. It makes you actually feel quite sick drinking that much protein in one sitting. I would only use that in emergency cases. Most protein shakes that you make at home are only 20 grams or 25 grams of protein. And they're a little bit easier on the stomach. So the likes of a protein shake and a banana and a fruit source. You could also have a fruit source with your pre-workout meal as well, okay? And if you're not cutting, you could use, cutting is another word for deficit, you could add in a couple of rice cakes as well. So there's carbs in rice cakes and that's going to replenish your energy source. You know, if you've worked out pretty tough in the gym, you want to replenish your carb stores. Obviously, again, like I said, you've already done the workout, so carbs aren't as important, but you do want to give yourself a little bit of energy, especially if you're going to have the rest of the day ahead of you. So yeah, that would be my advice for pre, during and post meals. Okay, so I hope I've answered questions on that. So again, I know a lot of people, because the way their day works out, they would rather work out first thing in the morning. So if you had a big meal before bed that had a carb source in it, whether it be spuds, pasta, rice, like that's still going to carry into the next morning and will help you with your workout. But if you want an extra kick, you could have the likes of a banana and a protein shake, okay? If you literally wake up and your workout, or you go to do one of them boot camp classes, within waking, you're going to be in that boot camp within 45 minutes, then I would say, yeah, maybe a protein shake and a banana. But if you wake up at 6 and your class is at 7:30, then by all means, yes, have your bowl of oats. Or if you like to train fasted, then again, the meal the night before will suffice. But like I said, try have something during your workout, like powdered EAA into a bottle of water. You can order it online. My protein probably have it. I order from Strom Sports a lot of my stuff. And they have different flavors as well. My one tastes like yellow refreshers. Your intra workout is going to be so much more important. And make sure you have an electrolyte, okay? The EAA that I have actually has an electrolyte built into it as well. Like, so it's built into the powder too. And it's hitting two boards with the one stone. So you need to make sure you're really hydrated as well before you go into your workout if you're doing a fasted, okay? Otherwise, your muscles are going to be like raisins and you want them like grapes when you're going into a workout. And water will help with that. So yeah, that wraps up this week's episode. And don't forget, my app launches on the 29th of January. So app/platform. It's going to be $29.99 a month. But if you sign up to my mailing list, coachedbyenya.com, you can sign up to the mailing list there. You will get a nice email on launch day with a discount code. And yeah, you'll get a nice discount on sign up, and it will roll into the next month and the month after that. Like, it won't go back up to normal prices on month two. So that's another nice incentive. So yeah, it's going to have loads. It's going to have your workouts, your meal plans. There'll be a members area. I have other people helping me with, you know, psychology. They'll be uploading videos to help you with your mindset during dieting. I'm going to have a yoga teacher doing Pilates as well. So yeah, it's exciting times. And I'm going to upload a nice little recipe book, ebook. If you have an air fryer, excuse me, a macro friendly air fryer recipe guide. There's a good few recipes on that. For family meals, and again, you can just divide the ingredients if you want to make it for yourself. But if you want to get the family to jump on the healthy eating bandwagon, why not? But if they have absolutely no interest, then you can use it for yourself, okay? But that wraps up this week's episode. Hope I've helped and educated it that bit more. I always get a lot of messages, people actually listen to the podcast, and I'm glad that I'm helping educate you, because when I was starting out, I used to look to people like this for advice, and, you know, good advice, because there's a lot of toxic diet culture out there, and I'm just trying to clear up the clutter and try to explain it to you in layman's terms. So I hope your eating habits have bettered since you've started listening to this podcast. I hope that you're on the straight and narrow, you have a good roadmap ahead of you now, using sustainable approaches. And it doesn't have to be an all or nothing approach, you know, cutting out your favorite foods, spending endless hours on cardio machines. It doesn't have to be like that. So yeah, have a lovely evening or afternoon or morning, whatever stage you're listening to this, and I'll see you in the next one.